Our King will come from Zion. The Lord God is with us, is his mighty name, is our antiphon. We're going to pray evening prayer since I have a little extra time. I hope you also have a little extra time. And maybe we'll even have our 5-minute catechesis or something at the end. Psalm 135. Praise for the wonderful things God does for us. He has won us for himself, and you must proclaim what he has done for you. He has called you out of darkness into his own wonderful light, is our sentence from scripture or tradition, from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing a psalm to his name, for he is loving. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, and Israel for his own possession. Our King will come from Zion. The Lord God is with us, is his mighty name. For I know the Lord is great, that our Lord is high above all gods. The Lord does whatever he wills, in heaven, on earth, in the seas. He summons clouds from the ends of the earth, makes lightning produce the rain. From his treasuries he sends forth the wind. Our King will come from Zion. The Lord God is with us, is his mighty name. The firstborn of the Egyptians he smote, of man and beast alike. Signs and wonders he worked in the midst of your land, O Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. Nations in their greatness he struck, and kings in their splendor he slew. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. He let Israel inherit their land, on his people their land he bestowed. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Just like we spoke about with morning prayer, we pray these psalms in our liturgy not so much for the historical events that they encapsulate, but for what the historical events reveal to us about Jesus Christ and our lives. So in this case, we praise God also for how he has brought us out of slavery to sin and darkness, just as he once brought the people that heard his name out of Egypt. You have to come up with other meanings, because we didn't inherit the promised land. We didn't inherit the territory in the Middle East. So Og, the king of Bashan, could be demonic overlords that Christ has freed us from, that Christ has knocked down on our journey, or things, or spiritual blocks that we have knocked down in our journey. So again, just a little catechesis. You know, we pray, and all these things, if you study these things in the context, they come to life. You know, there's all these spiritual interpretations. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our King will come from Zion. The Lord God is with us, is his mighty name. Antiphon 2. Wait for the Lord. He will come to you with his saving power. Still Psalm 135. Lord, your name stands forever, unforgotten from age to age. For the Lord does justice for his people. The Lord takes pity on his servants. Wait for the Lord, and he will come to you with his saving power. Pagan idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. There is never a breath on their lips. Their makers will come to be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Wait for the Lord, and he will come to you with his saving power. Sons of Israel, bless the Lord. Sons of Aaron, bless the Lord. Sons of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear him, bless the Lord. From Zion, may the Lord be blessed him, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Father, your name and your memory last forever. We stand to pray in your house and praise you with psalms of joy. We ask you in your kindness to have mercy on us in our lowliness. Wait for the Lord, and he will come to you with his saving power. Antiphon 3. Eagerly I watch for the Lord. I wait in joyful hope for the coming of God, my Savior. And this is our prayer from the book of Revelation, our canticle from Revelation. Mighty and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who would dare refuse you honor or the glory due your name, O Lord? Since you alone are holy, all nations shall come and worship in your presence. Your mighty deeds are clearly seen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All nations will come and worship before you, O Lord, would have been our antiphon. But we have eagerly, I watch for the Lord. I wait in joyful hope for the coming of God, my Savior. A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will strengthen us to the end, so that we will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and it was He who called us to fellowship with His Son. Responsory prayer. Come and set us free, Lord God of power and might. Let your face shine upon us, and we shall be saved, Lord God of power and might. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Come and set us free, Lord God of power and might. And how true that responsory prayer is. Another thing you can do is you can actually take part of the gospel, like a mass reading from the gospel, and you can substitute it, or one of the first or second readings, and you can substitute it any reading. Sometimes you can substitute on days that don't have feasts or proper days. But here you can see kind of the way the church has structured evening prayer. Now this is a beautiful canticle of Mary. O key of David, O royal power of Israel, controlling at your will the gate of heaven, come, break down the prison walls of death for those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and lead your captive people into freedom. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked with favor on His lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. He has mercy on those who fear Him in every generation. He has shown the strength of His arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has come to the help of His servant Israel, for He has remembered His promise of mercy, the promise He made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. O key of David, O royal power of Israel, controlling at your will the gate of heaven, come break down the prison walls of death for those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and lead your captive people into freedom. Ah, wow. Thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege of being able to proclaim your word. Now, the intercessions are, they always give you a nice verse to introduce them. To Christ our Lord and Redeemer, who will appear openly on the last day, let us joyfully pray. Come, Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord, by your birth as a man, you freed us from the heavy yoke of the law. Complete in us the works of your loving kindness. From us you took whatever served your divinity. Give us whatever we need to serve you. Grant the desire we ask of you today. Inflame our hearts with the fire of your love. On earth we live with you by faith. In glory may we rejoice with you. Steep the souls of the faithful departed in the dew of your loving kindness. So the last one in evening prayer is always a prayer for the souls in purgatory, but you can again add your own. And we pray and we offer this office again for all of your personal intentions. As we say, come, Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. God of love and mercy, help us to follow the example of Mary, always ready to do your will. At the message of an angel, she welcomed your eternal Son, and filled with the light of your Spirit, she became the temple of your word, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. And at a record 11 minutes, that's got to be our shortest divine office ever. But it's because we didn't have those two long readings And also because I didn't dilly-dally around, I went through it as fast as we could without being irreverent to the sacred office that the church has given us of Scripture. So let's just spend about 5 minutes speaking and reflecting on our Catholic faith. So the Catholic Catechism is such a remarkable tool. It really is a very special way in which the Church, as shepherd and as queen, as shepherd and mother and teacher, teaches us. So there's four parts to it. The first part is based on the fundamentals of theology and the creed itself. So we've been talking about the fundamental sources of theology, Scripture, tradition, and the discerning work of the Church's teaching authority, the Magisterium. Now, a lot of part one is all about the creed. And people sometimes want to know, like, why is the creed, especially ecumenically, many Protestants want to know, what is it with the deal with the creed? So it's interesting, most Protestant communities don't know that they're actually acknowledging the authority of the Catholic Church every time they say the Nicene or the Apostles' Creed, because it was Catholic councils that put them together and promulgated them on their own authority, and councils of bishops that spoke of the Holy Catholic Church and put that ecclesiology in there. So even though they may not accept, for example, the disciplinary judgments of the Church in a weird, imperfect way, they actually do fundamentally proclaim the authority and reverence the authority of the Catholic Church every time they say that. But these are ways in which we can understand the hierarchy of truths, how some truths are so important and so central to our lives that they merit special attention. They're called symbols of our faith because this symbol is one way in which we can recognize the truth of another Christian's faith. They're so important that they try to encapsulate the most important doctrines of the entire Christian faith. And the Church just teaches us beautifully. Let's read part Catechism paragraphs 268 for about five of them. Catechizes us on the part of the creed that calls God the Almighty. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator or maker of heaven and earth. Of all the divine attributes, only God's omnipotence is named in the creed. To confess this power has great bearing on our lives. We believe that his might is universal, for God, who created everything, also rules everything and can do everything. God's power is loving, for he is our Father, and mysterious, for only faith can discern it when it is made perfect in weakness. And then the Church is going to explain each one of those words that it italicized, universal, loving, and mysterious, in the next three paragraphs, which is something my professor in catechist school taught us. He does whatever he pleases. The Holy Scriptures repeatedly confess the universal power of God. He is called the Mighty One of Jacob, the Lord of Armies, or the Lord of Hosts, the Holy and Mighty, the Strong and Mighty One. If God is almighty in heaven and on earth, it is because he made them. Nothing is impossible with God, who disposes his works according to his will. He is the Lord of the universe, whose order he established and which remains wholly subject to him and at his disposal. He is master of history, governing hearts and events in keeping with his will. It is always in your power to show great strength, and who can withstand the strength of your arm? You are merciful to all, for you can do all things, is the next section heading. God is the Father Almighty, whose fatherhood and power shed light on one another. God reveals his fatherly omnipotence by the way he takes care of our needs, by the filial adoption that he gives us. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Finally, by his infinite mercy, he displays his power at its height by freely forgiving sins. God's almighty power is in no way arbitrary. In God, power, essence, will, intellect, wisdom, and justice are all identical. Nothing, therefore, can be in God's power that could not be in his just will or his wise intellect. And that's something quoted from St. Thomas Aquinas. So when we talk about the mercy of God, in some way, even though it might seem different, it's also the justice of God. So that's a lot of the interesting things, right? The mystery of God's apparent powerlessness. Faith in God the Father Almighty can be put to the test by the experience of evil and suffering. God can sometimes seem to be absent and incapable of stopping evil, but in the most mysterious way, God the Father has revealed his almighty power in the voluntary humiliation and resurrection of his Son, by which he conquered evil. Christ crucified is thus the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It is in Christ's resurrection and exaltation that the Father has shown forth the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe. Only faith can embrace the mysterious ways of God's almighty power. This faith glories in its weaknesses in order to draw to itself Christ's power. The Virgin Mary is the supreme model of this faith, for she believed that nothing will be impossible with God, and was able to magnify the Lord, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. There's also a beautiful paragraph that I wish I had in front of me, and it's about how there is absolutely no part of the Christian faith that's not in part a response to this philosophical question of evil. And I think that that is such a powerful teaching in the Catechism. We'll probably have to look at that sometime before Christmas. But anyway, I hope that you have a great day, and I hope that you're enjoying our time together, and most of all, benefiting from it. Dana signing off.